right. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask you to find with me Galatians, the sixth chapter. I'm going to be considering verses 6 through 10 this morning as I do a little housekeeping here. Jerry, thank you for that. God bless you. What a wonderful gift the Lord has given you. And we appreciate that you're using it for Him and especially using it here for us. All right. Let's say a few things this morning before we get going. I wanted to mention that I'm grateful for all the service that's going on and upward. And if you can find some time to carve out on Saturday to be a part of Upward, please take some time and be a part of Upward. We have some spots we still need to fill. There's an amazing amount of young people that are coming through the church and their parents as well, and they're getting to really experience some things that they may not experience everywhere else. I had several comments to me yesterday were telling me how much better a program this is than any other program that their kids have been involved with anywhere else, meaning wherever you want to think about. So I'm grateful for the great job Mark's doing with it, Brian's doing with it, Doug is doing with it as well. You know, all our leaders are doing a wonderful job. So guys, thank you. And if you're not a part of it and would like to be a part of it, please see one of those guys. All right, well, we're going to be in, as I said already, the sixth chapter, verses 6 through 10. I want to talk to you about reality this morning, sowing and reaping. Now, without a doubt, one of the greatest advantages of the gospel is this liberty that we've been given in Christ. We do have liberty in Christ, and Paul addresses that issue quite frequently in the book of Galatians. But I want you to understand some things. We need to be careful here. We need to understand that our liberty, this wonderful liberty that we have, can become a dreadful liability if it's misused. Now, do you understand that you can misuse your liberty? See, the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 23, Paul shares this, and I want to share it with you this morning. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Now, here's what I know that verse is teaching. All things is not implying everything. It's implying the gray areas of life that we come up against, that the Scripture's not really emphatically clear on. It's speaking about the grays in life. And so for us here today, there may be some grays that we're okay with. There's one thing that we may be okay with. There may be something else that someone else is okay with. But we've got to be adult Christians about it and realize that, all right, you know, that's not my cup of tea, but it may be their cup of tea. We need to remember that you and I both can do something with our liberty that was never intended to do, and that's this. We can hurt others with it. And how do we hurt others with our liberties? Well, we go past what would be moderation, and we go into a thing that would be called excess. I want to share with you, when we get into an excess kind of mindset, a good thing can become a bad thing. And a thing that was meant to be in moderation can become a really, really bad thing. Now, here's two things that can happen to you if you get involved in excess. And let me say this as well. I believe that as a fallen race, we have genetic predispositions to have a myriad of problems. I really believe that. I believe the Scripture pretty much makes it clear that we're fallen, we're undone without the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the world shows that we're just undone, why do we get so worked up about it? I mean, it's just showing that things are bad. The human race is bad, and without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's none of us that are going to be going to heaven. So we can have genetic predispositions to be in any direction that you want to think of, in a bad direction. But that does not negate our responsibility. I've shared that several times in this series as well. So here's the way to judge if you're in excess. First is this. You can harm yourself because of excess, and the excess of a good thing or something that is marginally good can be brought to us and done by us that is in moderation. And I've thought long and hard about this. What constitutes excess? Well, here it is. Here's what I've come up with. Constitution, in my opinion, of excess, what constitutes going past moderation and excess is this. If you're doing something and it diminishes your life and the life of those you're responsible for, then you went past moderation. You went into excess. Too much exercise can be a bad thing. Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. Too much of a questionable thing, too much of a marginal thing can be a bad thing. And if you go past that into excess, the way that you calibrate if you're in excess is this. Hey, I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting those who I'm responsible for. Second thing is this. You need to remember that when you go past moderation, when you go past and take a good thing into real excessive type of mindset, you diminish your testimony. That's what Paul's telling us here. Not all things are helpful. Not all things are edifying. You diminish your testimony. And when we go into this mindset of using something above and beyond what it was meant to be used. So here's what I want you to see this morning. In our text today, in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 10, there's one word. As I read through this, as I parsed and tensed this all, I believe there was just one word that Paul was trying to convey in this passage of Scripture. It's on the screen this morning. Reality. There's a reality that he's writing about here. See, he's writing about there's some fixed laws that are here. These are not just some imaginary things. They're not some idealized thing that's put out there. There's not a false idealism that he's presenting here. He's talking about some hard and fast rules that are out there. Now, several times I've talked about in this series about working in the grace. And for us to get better as a church, we've got to learn to work within the grace. But I want you to understand, when you take something that was meant to be good, or you take something that was meant to be in moderation and go into excess with it, there's some bedrock realities that are going to come into your life. You can't get past them. Now, just think of it this way. There's certain fixed laws in the universe. There's the law of gravity. We cannot change the law of gravity. This law of gravity is enforced here today. It keeps us from floating up to the top of the ceiling. Go up to the top of the roof here today, find you a spot, and jump off. You're not going to break the law of gravity. You're only going to confirm the law of gravity. As a 6-year-old boy, I donned a cape, jumped from the top of our basement stairs to the basement, and I did not break the law of gravity. I confirmed the law of gravity as I tried to fly like Superman. Well, just as there are fixed laws in the physical universe, I want us to understand that there are fixed laws. Are there fixed realities in the spiritual realm as well? Now look at verse 6. And I want to say a few things about verse 6 before we go past it. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now, if you're a member of this church, I want to share some things with you here today. This is not for our guest here today. This is for our members. Let me just say one thing about this verse. It's to our members. Paul is saying this. If you receive anything of benefit from the discipleship programs of the church, if you're being taught something, then here's the bottom line to it. You need to share in the upkeep of that said ministry. That's plain, pure, and simple. Whatever God's blessed you with, you in return are to bless the church with and those who are part of the church. That's just simple. It's just right there. Now look at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those in the household of faith. Now may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word today. Now look back at verse 7, and there's a spiritual law there that's put right out before us. It's a reality, and this reality should never be overlooked. The reality is you can't mock God. You're not going to get away with that. You might make an attempt to negate. You might make an attempt to nullify or to even overlook the laws that God has established of sowing and reaping. But the bottom line is, eventually it will catch up with you. Abraham Lincoln, he said this. I thought it was an amazing quote. I agree with this quote. He said, you can fool all the people some of the time, And you can, some of the time, fool some of the people, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Now, he said that. Now, I know that to be true, and I would add one more thing to it. You cannot fool God any of the time. Don't be deceived. Listen, my dear friends, it ought to freeze us in our tracks when we come across those words where it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to pull a fast one over God. God is not mocked. And so today I want to show you six bedrock realities that concern our liberties. You may be okay to do something. You may be fine with a certain gray area in the scriptures. But you need to listen to this very carefully. Because that's what Paul's talking about here. Here it is. First reality is this. The reality of circulation. Now think about that phrase. What a man sows, he will reap. Simply, whatever we're putting out there, it will eventually come back to us. We've heard people say this. What goes around, what does it do? Comes around, right. Didn't they have a TV series where it was just based on karma? Remember that? Where the guy, he did all these bad things in life and he was trying to go back and to repair his life. See, karma in the Hindu and Buddhist philosophy, it means this, that the quality of someone's life is determined by their past behaviors. Can I share with you that Christianity takes it a little bit deeper? Because there's an understanding about sowing and reaping that goes beyond just the quality of our life. It goes beyond because the Bible teaches that some will reap some things that they've never sown. That's a reality. But if you reap something, the fact is somewhere, somehow, someone has sown something. That is a reality. See, the reality, which is the reality of circulation in God's economy, is simply unchangeable. Now, most really don't like to admit this, but some of the things that are going on in your life right now are because of some bad things you've done. We don't like to admit that, but that's the reality. We've made some poor choices. We're suffering because of it right now. And when we've sown some good seed, when we've done some right things, have done some right things in our life, and we're reaping about that, boy, we're not a bit shameful or bashful and say, you know, I did the right thing right there. You know, I saved up for my retirement. Now I'm enjoying it, you know, whatever the case may be. I took care of myself when I'm younger. I'm reaping the benefits of that now. But boy, when we make some mistakes, when we do some bad things, we're not about sharing that whatsoever. Now let's talk about this next reality here. And it's the reality of identification. Here it is. This is simple, but we're going to spend some time on this morning. We're going to reap the exact thing that we have sown. That statement, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So whatever you reap will be identified with what you've sown. In Genesis, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12, God simply gives the ergo laws out there. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seeds, and fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herbs that yield seeds according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now God's speaking directly in that passage, and he's telling us we're going to reap with what we're going to reap identically what we have sown with. So if you plant a fig tree today, don't expect to get an apple off that fig tree. If you plant corn, don't go back and look for beans. That's the physical world. But remember, I said that there's spiritual realities that are being shown here, that are in place here. So listen carefully. If you sow discord, guess what you're going to reap? Well, you're going to reap discord. If you do things that are improper, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap some things that are improper. Let's say that you're sort of a marginal person. Maybe people can get along with you, or maybe people can't get along with you. It's sort of a mixed bag. Let me just share with you. Maybe somebody sugarcoated it to you today. I'm not going to sugarcoat it to you. But maybe they've sugarcoated it to you and say, well, you're just somebody that speaks your mind. Or they may have said that you have no filter. But down the road, if you continue just to do it just in a little bit here and there, down the road, you're going to find yourself reaping a field full of loneliness. You won't reap friends by being a hypocrite. But there can be another way. You can do some good things. See, the Word of God says what you've sown is what you're going to reap. What the Word of God is telling us, that for every kick, there is a kickback. It works negatively, it works positively. Someone wrote these words, and I don't know who to attribute it to, but I found them nonetheless, about raising children. Listen to this very carefully. If a child lives with criticism, he will learn to condemn. For every kick, there's a kickback, right? If a child lives with hostility, then he will learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, then he will learn to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he will learn to feel guilt. For every kick, there's a kickback. But there's a good side to this as well. If a child, if he lives with tolerance, he will learn to be patient. If he lives with encouragement, he will learn to have confidence. If he lives with praise, he will live with appreciation and learn with appreciation. If he lives with fairness, he will learn justice. If he lives with security, he will learn to have faith. Now, as I looked at those things and thought about children, well, they're not only applying to kids, but they apply to us as well. What we do will either work positively or it will work negatively. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 24, Solomon writes these words, "For us to have friends, we must show ourselves friendly." Christ said in Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 38, that we are to give and it will be given to us. Listen, if you don't like what you've been reaping, then start looking at what you've been sowing and change the crop if the crop is no good, because it will come back to you. Now, the reality three here is this. There's a reality of hope. See, in verse 9, Paul tells the Galatians as well, that we'll reap in due time. There's hope here. I've planted a few seeds in my day. My wife and I both, our parents gardened when we were little, and guess what? We gardened. We did some planting. We've planted a lot of different things. I planted a lot of bean seeds. I've done a lot of things. And what I have noticed, even in my yard, some things come up quicker than others. You know, the things usually undesirable come up a little quicker than the things that you want to come up. And some things come up quicker than others, but here's what I know. Always there is a due season. Things will eventually come up. Well, what's true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm as well. As a matter of fact, it seems to me that the things that really count the most in our life are the things that take the longest to get here. When we do something, there's a hope that we will see something, and there's a hope that what we have done will have a positive kickback from it. Now, I've had a couple bald spots in my yard for several years. I've dug down into them. I've tried to figure out what's going on there, looking for a rock. I don't know what happened there. I get grass to grow them up for a little bit, and then it goes away. But here's what I know. I watch this spot. I put seed on it. It's one particular spot between between the road and my sidewalk. And I'll put seed on it, and I'll watch it and watch it. And then I figured something out. You know, I wasn't watering it. That's why nothing wasn't growing. You just can't plant it and forget it. You've got to take care of it. It sounds pretty stupid for somebody that's sort of educated, doesn't it? But, I mean, that's a reality, doesn't it? It can happen to us. So, let me put this in spiritual terms as well. Maybe you've started giving at this church, or you're talking about giving here at this ministry. Maybe you're talking about serving here in this ministry, or maybe you've already started to serve in this ministry. Maybe you're going to be on a more regular basis attending and doing some other things at this church. Personal study time in itself. And you've just started one of those things, or maybe you've started more than one of those things. Let someone who loves you, who cares for you, and wants the very best that God has for you in your life, don't get discouraged if you've just started some things. Take time to let God have some time in your life. And if you do get discouraged, then take this to the Lord. Because remember, he said that in due season, you will reap if you faint not. So if you started some good things, keep on doing those good things and don't get discouraged. And if you do, take it to the Lord. James says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the earth early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Remember again, in due season, there's this reality of hope. We're going to get what we've planted. All right, next thing. There's the reality of proliferation, okay? Now, what I mean by that is this. You're going to reap more than you sow. You're going to reap more than you sow. We sow to the flesh, then we're going to reap to the flesh corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap from the Spirit good things. Regardless of what we sow, we are going to reap what we've sown, and there'll be more than what we've sown. You see, dear friend, the reality of proliferation is this. You can expect more than what you planted. You get more than what you put out there. If you never plant anything, by the way, you're never going to probably receive anything in return. I'm not going to focus on the negatives here today about sowing in the flesh. But the fact of the matter is, if you do some things that are fleshly, you know that they are inherently bad, then you can be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other and still know the simple fact and see the simple fact of the mess that the flesh can create. Most things start small and then they snowball and proliferation happens. Someday, one day, you wake up and you say, wow, what happened? Well, let me share with you some things. However long it took you to get into that mess, it's probably going to take you about twice as long to get out of that mess. That's a reality. But the good news is that you can, and by God's grace, and will get out of that mess. But let's focus on the positives for a little bit this morning about reaping of the Spirit. That's what we really want to do. You see, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7, I say to you that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That is what, if we sow little, then just expect to reap a little. Or if you've sown much, then you can expect to reap much. So let each one purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or a necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God never forces us to give, and he always wants us to give out of a glad heart toward him. It's his to start with. So he just says, hey, this is your responsibility. How are you going to respond back to it? The reality is that 1/6 of the Gospels and 2/3 of the parables address the simple fact of stewardship. It's there. It's right in front of us. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ was no fundraiser. He dealt with money because money really matters. It's an important thing in our life. It can either make you or it can break you. That's a reality. It's a surprise to many people, and including the Christians, that the Bible has so much to say on the subject of money. Money is a tool that we have, and we can either use it in the way that God intended it, or we can use it in a way that he never intended it. And what are the consequences of that? They're immense in nature. See, God gives us three ways to invest here on this planet in eternity. He counts on us to invest in these three ways. He counts on us to invest our time. He counts on us to invest our talents. And he certainly counts on us to invest our treasures as well. Two of them are up for discussion. When I get on a message about how to manage time, man, people are all over that. Boy, that was helpful, Pastor. Man, that was a wonderful thing you said. You know, I've had such a problem with my time, but now I've got some tools to do that. And a pastor should do that. A pastor that does not do that is derelict of his duties as a pastor. Or if I preach a message about developing your talents, using your talents, how God has gifted you and how God can bring better gifts out of the gifts that you already have. Man, you're all over that. You love that. But let the guy get up, including myself, and say a few things about how you're managing your money, how you're giving to the church, and it comes back to the age-old thing, well, he's just after your money. Listen, I've always said this, and I say it unashamedly. If you're not happy to give, you're not a part of this church, by the way. I'm not even speaking to you. But if you're not happy to give, if you're not happy in your giving, don't give it. Keep it. That's between you and the Lord. We'll be fine here. You keep it. God's able to make his grace abound toward us. Doesn't it just make sense that we should be grateful back to him? So when we get on the subject of money, I have no qualms about getting on the subject of money. It's important that we give here. Period. Because whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap back to it. Okay? And going back to what we said, what Paul says in verse 6. If you're a part of the ministry, if you're receiving something from the teaching of the ministry, and I'd like to think that after people walk out of the service here this morning, they've got some good things to work on, they've got some good things to work with, you're going to be better because of it. If you were in Sunday school class this morning, hopefully you had some great interaction, one of our many classes that does some great things here. Listen, if you're a member of this church, it's your duty. It's your God-given duty to do something with that, to give back. Now, you got liberty here. You can say, well, I think I'm not going to give. Well, fine, don't do that. If that's what you want to do, don't do that, but don't expect anything back from it. And just remember, God's not mocked. Don't be deceived about it. Don't walk in and paint some kind of picture, man, this church is doing this and that, and be all about that, and never put your hand to the plow. It's not good. God's not mocked in it. All right, let's go to this next one here, the reality of repetition. I tease my wife about this because I'm an excessive compulsive type personality. I obsess and then I compulse over things. I really do. I got the shampoo bottle out at the house. And Brenda has her brand. I have my brand. Maybe you are like that. But I was looking at the directions on the shampoo bottle. Here's what it says. Wet, lather, rinse, repeat. That's what it says. There's just some things that it's worthwhile doing over and over again, isn't it? Like washing your hair. I mean, doesn't that make sense, huh? Shouldn't they put that on deodorant, by the way? Apply daily? Huh? Listen what Paul says here. He says in verse 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Here's what I know. In life, if anything's worthwhile, it's never really a one-and-done deal. Is it really? It's never really a one-and-done deal. You see, you can actually see an intensification of proliferation by repetition. I worked on that for a while this morning. Physically, you can just say these things. Say, I'm going to eat better. But you start out and you say, I'm going to eat one healthy meal a day. And then the rest of the meals, you just eat whatever. Anything and everything. As one of my friends at Kroger's used to say, you go through it like a thrashing machine. Eat everything you want, anything you want. Well, what can help you? Well, I can tell you this. It won't be the results that you're desiring. It's not going to be the results you're hoping for. There's this thing called the weekend warrior athlete. Do we have any weekend warrior athletes out there? I'm one. It describes someone that's pretty much stationary, 5 days a week, sitting around, not doing much of anything, probably can't because they have a desk job. But then the weekend comes. And suddenly he is the second coming of Willie Mays. And you know what happens there? The weekend warrior athlete, he gets hurt, and he winds up buying the orthopedic a new sports car. Well, the same's true in the spiritual realm as well. Now listen to me really carefully here. I love you. I'm giving you what God's given me here. And you need to hear this. Don't go out and live like hell for 6 days and then come in here and expect me to say something charming, witty. Don't expect the praise team and the choir to get up here and just float your boat some way or another, because you've lived like the devil the other 6 days. It just doesn't work that way. It never will work that way. Don't expect to come in here and hear something, boy, that just made me feel so good about myself, when you've never once through the course of the week even acknowledged God. And now you want to worship him like he's your best friend? It's not going to serve you well trying that kind of attitude. Can I tell you something that I'm glad about? I am so glad that I don't have a one and done relationship with my Lord. Now, when he saved me, it's one and done. That's settled. That's finished. But each day is special. It's like the song from Third Day. What kind of day are you going to bring to me? Rain or shine, I'll be just fine. That's what the Lord does in our life when we have a personal, vibrant, everyday relationship with him. I know that it takes repetition to get better at things. I'm the poster child for that. It takes things repeated over and over again to get better at them physically, and it takes us doing things over and over again to get better at them spiritually. It's just a simple fact. And I want to say this loud, proud, and very clear today. I am glad that there are just some things in the church and some things in my spiritual life that they're just not one and done. They've got to be done over and over and over again. And that's a blessing to get to do some things over and over and over again. So let me give you the final reality of this AM, and that's this here. The reality of membership. Now look at verse 10, the last part. Look what he says here. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now Paul's writing about membership there. That's exactly what he's talking about there. He's talking about membership in that Galatian church. And I want everyone that's here, that's a member, potential member, think about this. Membership mattered to Paul. It mattered to God because God prompted Paul to write about it. It should matter to us. Don't forget something that I said at the start of this series, of this message today, I should say. You can't reap without sowing. You can reap without sowing, but that's because someone else has sown. Now, we have some new members here today. We actually had nine folks in the class here this morning. I think we had 12 or 14 in the last class that we had. We've got some new folks here. It always makes me feel good. And when I hear some of our members that have been long-term say, you know, there's so many new people. I'm trying to learn their name. Listen, if you're a long-term member here, then you make it a point to get to know some of the new folks as best you can. Go out of your way. Hunt them down. Say hello to them. Ask what you can pray for them about. Do that. That needs to be done. But for some of the new members here and potentially new members, I want to give you the reality of what membership really means. See, right now, you're like me. I've not been long-term here. Lord have mercy. I've only been here since 1996. That may seem long, but it really is not long compared to some of the folks that we have here. This sanctuary that we are in right now, built in 1980. I remember Brenda and I were buying a home during that time that probably this was being built. We were not a part of the church. I remember 22% interest rates going on. That's how and when this church was built. 22% interest rates. They were telling them, it can't be done. You're not going to be able to do this. But God had other plans. They were going to do this. And so for so many people that none of us probably here, not none of us, but a lot of us here don't even know, they were faithful during the 80s to do some great things for the Lord. A few years back, we saw the Family Life Center being put into place, and people are still giving today faithfully to that. And right now, if you're new, potentially new, you're reaping in a field where you've never sown. So what we see today around us represents the reality of membership. Their love for God, their physical labor that they actually have put into this building, their constant prayers, for not only the physical needs of this building, but for the spiritual needs of those who would inhabit it as well. Be frank about it. We're standing on the shoulders of others. There's a missionary that came up with this. And I want to share this with you. Here's what he said. If we succeed without suffering, it is because others have suffered before us. If we suffer without succeeding, then it will mean others will succeed after us. But there is no success without suffering. Now, that's a wonderful, great statement. Let me read it to you again. If we succeed without suffering, it is because others have suffered before us. If we suffer without succeeding, it will mean others will succeed after us. But there is no success without suffering. So today, even if you're a long-term member, you're reaping from the benefits of a little church down on, I think, Parrish Avenue, Hamilton. What was Susan? What is it? East Hamilton Baptist Church. I forgot my history here. Made a decision to send some people out in the township to start a church. And so here we are today. They sent their best. They did their best. Now listen. Shouldn't we be doing our best too? Huh? We should be. Why? We may not benefit from it directly, but somewhere down the road, somebody else will. Amen? Maybe your kids. Maybe it won't be your kids. It might be somebody else's kid. Maybe someone else's grandkid. We all got just one season. One day this will all be over for us. We'll go on. The Lord will call us home. What have we left behind? What have we done? So I'm going to ask everyone to stand at this time. Just simple. Let's put the challenges up on the screen, guys. Look at the first challenge. What am I sowing? What are you sowing? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. So what are you sowing? If you don't like what you've been getting in life, maybe it's time to change what you've been throwing out there. Huh? Honestly. Ask yourself, will others benefit from what I'm doing? We've become such a selfish and mindless nation in so many ways. It's just incredible to me that people can live in America and pay absolutely nothing when it comes to the upkeep of America. I think everybody ought to pay at least something just for the privilege of being here in America. That's a political libertarian statement from your pastor or potential pastor today. Let me put it in spiritual terms. I think everybody that's a member of the church, according to what we've looked at today, needs to be part of the giving to the church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your love and for your provisions. And Lord, very sobering words, what we're sowing, what we're going to be reaping. And Father, if we've done some good things, we're usually not bashful to share that or mention it. But Lord, when it comes to the bad things that we've done and maybe walked into them, as we talked about a few weeks ago, with our eyes wide open, and maybe we knew exactly what we're doing and it was going to be a bad thing down the road, but we went ahead and did it anyway. And now we're reaping the whirlwind. I pray that, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy, that we can get past some of these negative things in our life and start doing the better things, sowing the right seeds in our life. And we know, Father, that also that we can at times get drawn into things that we have no idea that it's going to be a bad thing till after we get through it. And Lord, I know that your grace and your mercy is sufficient in that situation as well. So I pray that that we'll do our best in that as well. And Lord, today we know that there's some folks here that probably are not sure about their personal relationship with Christ. They've looked back on their life as this message has been presented and considered what's been sown and what they've been receiving. And Lord, there's a great concern right now in their heart that maybe they truly are not connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the strength and the courage to come forward today and share with one of the counselors, share with myself, that they really truly want to know that they're going to heaven, that they want to start sowing the good seeds in their life. And so, Father, whatever the reason, whatever the need is today, we pray that people will act accordingly, doing the right thing and realizing that they will reap good if they faint not. Maybe not in this life, but in a life that will have no end in heaven, where, Lord, we'll be able to see your face, worship you, and adore you forever and ever. So we just ask that you'll draw with cords of love in this invitation time. In Christ's name, amen.